Okay, welcome. Thank you for coming in the middle of the summer. To those who aren't on vacation, Parshas Ekev, we're moving through Devarim. It's amongst the Parshas. Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a monologue on what happened. Gives us, you know, a bird's eye view of what happened in the Midbar. And today we're going to deal with two topics. The first one is, you take a look in Perek Yud Aleph. And we talk about Shema. And we have the parsha of Shema, and in the parsha of Shema, which of course we all say every single day. So let's take a look in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Tes, Pasuk Chof and Chof Aleph. So v'limadatem soms b'neichem l'darbe bom, you should talk to your children to speak in it, v'shivta v'isecha, in your house, v'lech v'aderech, when you go on the way, v'shavu k'mecha, when you lay down and when you get up. And interestingly enough, this is going to tie into the word we're going to say. Uchasavtam al mezuzos beisecha v'yisharecha. And you should write it on the mezuzos of your house and of your gates. So we know from here we have the din of a mezuzah. You're supposed to put up a mezuzah upon the gate, the door of way of your house. We put it not only on the door of the house, we put it on every door in the house. And, you know, there's many, many halachas that people have. What is a room that needs a mezuzah? Where do you put the mezuzah? These are very interesting and complex halachas. So, the psukim, the medrash, it takes us a little deeper. And we're going to talk about this concept of a mezuzah. What is the purpose of the mezuzah? What do we hope to gain from having a mezuzah at the entrance of our doorway? So, I'd like to share with you, we haven't done for a while, from the Shvilei Pinchas. And he has a beautiful mimer, and he's going to take us to one of our favorite places in the world, Parshas Bereishis. And he'll take us to some episodes there, and he'll take us to Yaakov Avinu and Esav, and we're going to go all over the world in Sefer Bereishis, and then we'll come back to our pasuk about mezuzah. In Shmais, we find our first encounter with the concept of mezuzah. When the Makas Bechairis was taking place, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you have to protect yourself. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be going, the Malach will be going through the Mitzrayim. I'll be killing all the Bechayrim. And how are they going to know? How's he going to know which is the house, so to speak? How's he going to know means euphemistically, how's he going to know? Of course he knew. But what's going to protect them? So the Pasuk says, V'gatem el hamashkof, you'll come to the lintel, the thing over the doorpost, B'schus Avram. Says the Medrash, in the Schus of Avram, Velshtei HaMezuzos, and the two side posts, where's that, the two door posts, B'schus Yitzchak Yaakov. That'll be in the Schus of Yitzchak and Yaakov. So we're saying that what gave us a Schus, that the Malach should go and should kill all the Bechorim and not kill the Bechorei Yisrael, is because of the fact that you had the Schus of Avram, which is the Mashkoiv, and Schus of Yitzchak and Yaakov. And the Shalach HaKadosh, and the Shalach HaKadosh says that Yaakov represents the right side, the right doorpost, and Yitzchak is the left. Why is that? Because we know that Yitzchak stands for Gevura. And Gevura is called the Tzad Shmael, the left side. The Tzad Yamin, the right side in Kabbalah is Chesed, and the left side is Gevura. So Yitzchak is Gevura. Yaakov represents Tiferes, and Tiferes is the Tzad Yamin. So he said it's in the schus of Yaakov Avinu that we put up this, when we put up our mezuzah on the doorpost, says the shalah, we put it up in the schus of Yaakov Avinu. That's the schus, we have a schus of Yaakov that sort of protects us. Okay, that's a very nice thing, but where does that, why? what is there specifically about Yaakov? So one thing is we know is, where did the pasuk of Shema come from, that the first thing we put in our mezuzah? Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. That was said with Yaakov Avinu, with his sons. So Yaakov Avinu, we see even the Torah, and he brings a number of things we won't go into, but a number of things where we see that Yaakov Avinu has a shaykhus to the concept of a mezuzah. But we see that it says Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. So where does this come to Yaakov? Where does it come to Yaakov, and where's the connection to mezuzah? And what is the purpose of mezuzah? So he says like this. It says when Yaakov was born, and Esav, there's a very fascinating pasuk that tells us how did Yaakov get his name. It says the pasuk, "Vayetze harishon admaini kulo kaderes seyer," and first came out Esav, all hairy, "Vayikra shmo Esav, V'achri ken yotza achiv, and afterwards his hand came out, his brother, v'yado achez bakev Esav, and his hand was holding the heel of Esav. V'yikr shma Yaakov, and therefore they called him Yaakov. So we have another mystery. You know, these are babies. They're babies just coming out of their mother. And that's how you pick a name? I don't know. But anybody who's ever been involved in the naming of children knows that they start talking about who's the grandparents and who's the Zaydas and who's the Babas. And it's a whole process. And here this almost seems like, oh, isn't that cute? He held his heel. So we're going to give him that name? That seems to be very inconsequential. It just doesn't... It almost like, what's pshat? What's the significance of that? So to understand this, we're now going to go to Klei Yoker, and we're going to take us back to Sefer Bereishis, and we're going to spend some time now in Sefer Bereishis. Let's take a look in Per Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav. Does everybody have a Chumash? That would be very helpful. You can look in the Chumash, and we'll take a look. Gimel Tezvav. And we have the story of the Nachash. The Nachash HaKadmoni. The serpent, or the snake. So what happened? So the pasuk tells us that Adam was punished for his sin in the Eitz Hadas, in the episode of the Eitz Hadas. Chava was punished for her role in the sin of the Eitz Hadas, and the Nachash was punished. Why was the Nachash punished? So take a look in pasuk. We'll look in pasuk earlier. Pasuk Yudal. Vayomer Hashem Elokim el Nachash. Hashem says to Nachash, Ki asisa zois, because you did this. Orata mikol habehema, or mikol chayas asada. You're cursed from all the behema, all the chayas asada. Al gekayin katelach, you'll go on your stomach. Vi offer teichel kol yimei chayecha. By the way, I was talking to somebody Yid, a Talmud Chacham, who's familiar with archaeology. And he says that they just, you know, you say the snake goes on its stomach, so it's mashma that at some point the snake did not go on its stomach. And anybody reads it says, what do you mean? Where do we ever find such a thing? They've just found a snake, an ancient snake, with four legs. They found a snake on four legs in one of the archaeology digs. So originally the snake was able to go, and now it's cursed. It goes on its stomach. Okay? So that's what it is. It eats dirt. It goes on its stomach, it no longer stand up, it lost its kaicha dibur. But more than that. The Eva Oshes Ben Cho Ubeno Isha. I'm going to put a enmity, a hatred, between you and the Isha Ubein Zaracho Ubein Zara, between your progeny and hers. Who Yeshuv Chereish, he will stomp on your head. The ata to shufane akev, and you will bite him in the heel. You will hiss at the heel. So, what is this concept of heads and heels? What does that mean? He'll step on your head, and you'll bite his heel. So I understand if you're saying you'll step on his head was part of the curse. He'll step on your head. That's part of your curse. You're going to be down on the ground. You won't be able to protect yourself. He'll step on your head. But what does it mean that you're going to bite his heel? That's how is that part of the curse? Where does that come into it? We're trying to say how the Nachash was punished. So what's the pshat? What is this concept of this pasuk? So listen to what he says, a beautiful Klei Yoker. Mamash, a beautiful Klei Yoker that explains it. Listen to Klei Yoker. There's a Gemara that says like this. A Gemara in Sukkah. It's a well-known Gemara. We've learned it together. Yetzahara bitchila doimel lechut shel buchya. The Yetzahara, when it starts, is like a spider's thread. And the end, it starts out as thin as a spider thread, and ends up as thick as the cords of a wagon. Shenamar, as it says in the pasuk, "Hoy, Moshe Yoven bechavli Hashav kaavos hagola chato." A pasuk in Yeshaya that says, first it's going to be, this is how you're going. Woe unto those who draw iniquity with cords of nothingness, and sin is with the rope of a cart. In other words, what does that mean? What does it mean that it's going to start out thin and it's going to end up? So he explains that the pshat is like this. That the way the Yetzer Hara works, it does not work with a headlong attack. The way the Yetzer Hara works is that first it gets through the door, so to speak. It starts you up. It starts you going. A little thing, right? You do a little thing. And then you get into something that's much more than you planned on getting into. You didn't realize the seriousness of it when you started, And that's how Yetzer Hara works. It works on a little thing. You start a conversation with somebody and you're talking innocent things. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're saying Lashon Hara. You know, Lahavdil, maybe not Lahavdil, but it's like in the, when you see in these things like Vimeo, YouTube, you start with one video and then you can go all over, you get to other places. So it's the same thing over here. That's how the Yetzer Hara works. So he says that that's what it means over here. That the Yetzer Hara says you're going to pound, he's gonna, that you have to stop the Yetzer Hara before it starts. Hu Yishuvcha Roish, he's going to pound in your head. He has to stop the Yetzer Hara before it begins. The Ata, and you to Shufena Akim, you're going to try and get through his heel. You're going to try and get a foothold. You're going to try and come up and begin working on him until he sins. And in that he tells us the parsha of the Nachash and Chava. And when you look at the Nachash and Chava, you see why the Nachash was called Arum, how sneaky he was. The Nachash didn't come over to Chava and say, "Hey, do I have a fruit for you? You know, I'll give you something to eat." No, listen how the Nachash did it. Hanachash Paragimel Pasuk Aleph, page 10. And the Nachash was Aram, was cunning from all the Chayes Sada, Asher Osa Hashem Lekim. Vayomer Leisha, Afki Omer Lekim Leisotim Kol Eitzagat. He starts a conversation, has nothing to do with the Eitzadas. He starts in a totally different place. He says, what's the story with all of these trees? You're not allowed to eat from them. Could that be? So she says, "Vatoymer ho isha anochash mi pri eitz agan noichel." No, eitz agan is good. No, or mi pri eitz asher b'soich agan omer lekim loisoichlu v'menav lo sigubo pentemusim. So we're up to pasuk gimel until we get down to where the Nachash was going. So Nachash starts a conversation about, you know, what do you think of the fruits, and then he works her over to there. And then he's got her. You won't die. And he gives her the whole spiel. So he says that this is how the Nachash works. The Nachash starts with a little conversation with Chava. And he's talking about something. He engaged, the way he puts it, engaged Chava in conversation solely for the purpose of discussing the Eitz HaDaas. This granted him the opening he needed to persuade her to eat from the forbidden tree. We can do therefore that had Adam Harishon told her, "Don't talk to the Nachash, she's no good," the whole thing never would have started. But because he didn't, that's how it all began. That's the whole story. Because this is the operation of the Nachash. It says, he brings a pasuk in Mishlei, "Berayv dvarim lo yachdal pesha, v'chosech svas maskil." When abundance of words, offense will not be lacking, but one who restrains his lips is wise. That's where we're starting. And that's how we understand the very first pasuk in Tillim. The first pasuk in Tillim basically says this. What's the first pasuk in Tillim? I'm sure everybody can quote it by heart. Ashri isha shelo holah batzas rishayim. Happy is the person who does not walk in the way of rishayim. We're talking about mezuzah, and we're going to get back to mezuzah, but we're starting elsewhere. Ashri isha shelo holah batzas rishayim. Happy is the man who does not Halach, number one, walk in the way of Rishayim. Or b'derech hatoyim lo amad, he doesn't stand with the katoyim. Or moishav leitzim lo yoshav, and he doesn't sit with the leitzim. So the Medrash says, Amar Adam Rishon, oy, ashreinim lo amadat b'drachav shal nachash. Woe to me if I didn't know not to walk together to nachash. And then, v'ashreinim lo yishavti b'moishav shal leitzim, and I wouldn't have ended up in the moishav shal leitzim. So this is the first pasuk in Tillim, tells us a tremendous yisoid. Ashri misha holach. First, Ashri isha shelo holach batzas rishayim. The first thing you got to know is that don't even walk with them. The second thing you got to know is if you started walking, don't stand. And the third thing you got to know is don't sit. Have you ever been in a train station and the missionary comes over to you and he wants to show you a pasuk, he wants to talk to you. So what do you tell him? I'm not interested. Because the minute you give him any opening, you know, you won't krich out. He'll start telling you this, you'll answer him this, he'll answer that. You'll never krich out of it. So the pasuk tells Ashi Shalohalak, don't even start walking with such people. You'll never get there. And that's what Hashem told the Nachash. The way he's going to defeat you is Reish, because Reish means the beginning. right? We say Reish Rishon L'chol Darvish B'Kedushin. We say the Reish means the beginning. So who Yishuv Chareish? If he's going to be successful with you, he's going to have to stomp on you right away at the beginning. Va'at, but you to Shufena Akev, you're going to try and get him from within, kriching in from below. Now we come back to Yaakov Avinu. And then we'll go back to Kain Behevel. So what's Yaakov, so where's Yaakov come into it? So what did we say before? It says, V'yadai echezes ba'kev Esav. Then when he came out from Rivka, it says that his hand was on the heel of Esav. So what does that mean? So we got to understand who Esav was. And then we'll understand what it means. So the first thing is something very interesting that he brings from... He brings some svar from the Shalah. Could be one thing before with the Rekeh. From the Shalah. It says, Vayhi ish yodei atzayin. He was a man. Ish yodei atzayin. So the Targum says, Have esav gevar nechash yarchon. He was a nechash yarchon. What does that mean? He had a snake on his thigh. The Shalah says he had emblazoned in his thigh the nechash. That he was the Esav represented the continuation of the Nachash, the mission of the Nachash to ensnare and entrap people, the Yetzirah, that was continued by Esav. Azazok the Shalom. He actually had embedded in his thigh like the mark of the Nachash.
Tattoo?
No, it sounds like it was natural. You're asking a good question. I mean, does it mean that he did it, or he was there? It came in naturally. I understood it that he meant that he was born with that, with the nachash emblazed in. But maybe I don't know. It's hard to tell from these four lines. You know. Good question. Okay. See, so he says the Zohar Chadash says that Esav was the embodiment of the nachash HaKadmonim, who engineered Adam and Chava's downfall with his malicious, deceitful trap. And Yaakov, we know it says it was Shufra de Yaakov, came Shufra de Adam Harishon. Yaakov was really the continuation of Adam Harishon. And Esav was the continuation of the Nachash. So we'll see how that in plays. So he says another pshat. What does it mean he was Ish Yodei Tzayin? What does that mean he was an Ish? So he brings another thing. We're dealing all with famous psukim and famous things, but he puts them together beautifully. What happened when David HaMelech did the chet with Bathsheba? So we know that Natan HaNavi came to him. And Natan HaNavi told him a parable. He told him a mashal. And he asked him for the psak. And what was the mashal that he told him? He said like this, Vayavo halach l'isha asher. A wayfarer, halach, a person going, came to the rich man. Vayachma l'kach mitzono. And the rich man did not want to take from his sheep, or be bekaron, from his cattle. Lasses la'ayruch, to give to the ayruch, to the guest. So what did he do? So vayigach is kivsayis ha'ish ha'raish vayasel ish haba elav. And he took the little sheep, the last shefela from the poor man, and he gave it to the man who came to visit him. So if you look in the psukim, Chazal point out that you look in the psukim, it's very interesting. Let's read it again, the pasuk, and now let's think of the pasuk, what it means. And vayava halach, and the wayfarer came. So the first time he's called the wayfarer to the rich man. V'yachmol, and the rich man did not wait, not to take a sheep or cattle to do for the guest. So the first time it calls him a wayfarer, the second time he's a guest. And then the rest of the pasuk, you gotta look this pasuk up. Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Dalet. What does it say? It says, Vayasel Ish, and he made it for the man who came to visit him. So here's this person. He has three names: Halach, Ayrach, Ish. Say the Meforshim says Chazal, that's what it means, the same thing. The Yetzirah starts out as Halach. He starts out as a wayfarer. You barely recognize what's happening to you. He's out there. And then what happens next? He becomes an Ayrach, he becomes your guest. And before you know it, he's your Ish, he's your master. And just, he says, he brings in the Maria of Kamarna, just as a remez to this, so you shouldn't forget it, that the word Halach, Ayrach, and Ish is the Gematria 575, which is the same Gematria as the word Yetzer Hara. So the three of them together, how do you have them? Ish is 311, Ayrach is 209, and Halach is 55. and you add it up, and it's Yetzer Hara. So these three things together. And this is the way of the Yetzer Hara. So when it says, he could have just said in the Pasuk, Vayi Esav Yodei Tzayin. And Esav knew how to hunt. Why say Vayi Esav Ish Yodei Tzayin? He was a man who knew how to hunt. Because the word Ish also means a master. Somebody who's in control, like we said, the Yetzer Hara becomes the Ish, he becomes in control. He wasn't just he knew how to hunt. He knew how to hunt people. He knew how to fool people. He knew how to take the Yetzer Hara. He knew how to start with a person and start in one place and trap them. What's a trap? Think of a trap. You have a nebuch, a deer is walking. They make a trap, you know, some leaves and bushes, and the person thinks it's like a regular road, the animal, and he falls right in and he's trapped. In the same way, he was an ish yodei tzayin. He was an ish. He was the master of knowing how to trap people, and that's why he says gever nechash yorachon, that he was that type of person. That was the Yetzer Hara. So Yaakov represents Adam Rishon, and Esav represents the Nachash. The battle continues, and that's how we find so often the Torah. So in the original battle, the Nachash got Adam Rishon and fooled him in Chava, and they ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he won. They sinned. Comes along Yaakov, and Yaakov is going to rectify that problem. Yaakov is going to come, he's going to say, no, where are we going to stop this travesty? Where are we going to stop this outrage? We're going to stop it right at the beginning. So what did he do? Ochez b'kev Esav. He says, we're not going to let Esav get in. Well, how does Esav come? He comes through the heel. He comes in. You know, you're not suspecting it, right? It comes up through here. The Reish, you're thinking. The heel is as far from the Reish as it goes. So you're not thinking at all. So the Yetzer comes up through the heel. Comes Yaakov, Ochez b'kev Esav. He grabs Esav by the heel. He says, I'm not letting you in. And that's why he was called Yaakov. Because it wasn't just a matter of two children, two babies playing with each other. I'm sure they grab each other's heels all the time. You take a look at that. I'm sure that's always do. But here was significant. Because when Yisrael saw Banim B'Kirba, this was a cosmic battle they were having even inside of Rivka, of which Derech is going to be the Derech that's going to prevail. Is it going to be the Derech of Esav, the Derech of the Ishio Deit Said? Or is it going to be Yaakov, the Ish Tam Yashav Ahalav? So Yaakov, by grabbing the Akev Esav, would in effect stopping Esav from doing the thing that he had to do. So where's this got to do with a mezuzah? It's all nice. Beautiful pshat. Nice. But where we come? Let's cut. We got to get back to mezuzah. We're still there. So we're almost there. Just hold on a little more. We'll do one more thing in Parshas Bereishis. Take a look in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gimel. Now we're going to move on to Kayin and Hevel. And we're going to see advice given by none other than Rabbi Shalom himself. Is to give advice to Kayin, and that's going to be the basis for why we put a mezuzah on our door. So take a look. It's on page 13. Perek Dalet Pasuk Gimel. Vayhi miketz yomim. And it was after a certain amount of days, Vayavo Kayin and Kayin came. Vayavi Kayin, I'm sorry, Kayin brought mipri adama, mincha l'ashem. He brought a mincha. The Hevel Avi Gamhu, and Hevel also brought me Bechor Sono from his sheep, O Michal Beyam, and from their fat, which right away tells us a little bit that Esav just brought from the fruits, right? And Hevel, he brought from the best. He brought from the Bechorist, from the firstborn, he brought from the fat, the good stuff. Vayisha Hashem, and Hashem listened to Hevel, Vel Minchoso, Vel Kain, Vel Minchoso, Lo Shah, he didn't listen to Kain. What was the result? We all know. Vayichar l'kayin me'oid, and Kayin got very angry. Vayiflu ponev, and his face fell. He got upset. Okay. Now, what does Hashem tell Kayin? And this is before he kills Hevel. Remember, he didn't kill Hevel yet. All he is, he's angry, right? You can see Hashem sees he's cooking. He's very upset. So what does Hashem tell him? How does Hashem deal with it? We can learn if we ever want to know. We see somebody who's upset, so we'll see how Hashem deals with it. And we can learn from that. Vayomer Hashem el Kayin, lama charalach. First of all, it says one of Madrega Kayin is Hashem talking directly. No malach over here. No, you know, Hashem speaks to Kayin. Lama charalach. What are you upset about? Lama nafla panecha. Halohim seitiv says, if you do good, it'll be good. Vimlo seitiv la pesach chatis ravitz. He says, and listen, Kayin, what's burning you up? Jealousy is burning you up because you're upset that I listened to Kayin, that I listened to Hevel and I not you. I took his, not you. But if you can get rid of the jealousy aspect of it, and you can see this in a clear way, you'll understand you made a mistake. He gave the best. He gave Chalbeyan. He gave Mechayros. And you didn't. So if you put away the jealousy, it's going to be good for you because you'll be able to see life in a clear way. Seeing life through jealousy is not a way to make good decisions. People do not make good decisions and make them because they're jealous. They make very bad decisions. So he gives them good advice. And then he tells them something profound. He says, you should know, Kayan, that if you don't take my advice and you let the jealousy get hold of you and you let it start to eat at you, you do not know where it will end. You start with things and you don't know where it can go. He says, Lepesa chatas roivitz. The chatas, the problem, the evil is waiting at the door. Don't let it in. You have the ability to stop it at the door. And if you don't stop it at the door and you let it in, it might be a trickle when you start, but it'll be a flood by the time you're finished, and it will rule you instead of you ruling it. And Kayan, does anybody know what the end of the story was? Did he listen? No, he didn't listen. And he ended up Nebuch killing Hevel, and all the tzaras started from there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an advice that could have stopped it. Advice number one is don't let the jealousy get involved in your decision-making process. Think about it realistically. Sometimes we have a tendency when we do something that doesn't work out is to find reasons to blame that don't involve us. We always try and do that. We try and find the blame is somebody else, the blame is a face, whatever it is. But as long as it doesn't affect us, very hard to blame ourselves and take corrective action. So we can say, oh, there was favoritism toward the brother, there's favoritism toward the sister. That's something that we have to worry about. But here, we don't have to worry about that. He says, take responsibility to your own hands, kind. Don't let it get away from you. Lesson number one, Hashem gives him. Lesson number two is Lepesa Chatas Roivitz. It's at the door. That's when you got to stop it. Stop it before it gets in the door. The minute it gets in the door, you can't get it out. It's like a something you get to, sometimes you open the door, and the bee flies in. you can't get it out. It's very hard. It's flying all around. So the same thing, he says, that's the Pesach HaTes Reivitz. That's what he was telling him. He says, and that's really ultimately, he says, that's what the mezuzah is. Then that's the mezuzah, because it says by Yaakov, and that's where Yaakov Avinu comes in. Where do we put the mezuzah at the door of our house? Because what we're saying is, let it stop at the door. Whatever was going on, let it be outside. The house is a haven of Kedusha and Tahara. The house is going to be where everything's good. I don't let into this house anything. Really what we should have, like sometimes you go somewhere and there's a list, there's a list of rules, a list by the pool, there's a whole list of rules, 10, 12 rules. Don't do this, don't do that. There should be, in this house, no Lashon Hara, in this house, no Machlaikas, in this house, no, only learn, whatever it is. That's how it should be. Le Pesach, at the Pesach, Chatas Reivitz. And therefore we put the mezuzah at the Pesach. And who's the mezuzah we said in the beginning in the Schus of Yaakov? Because what does it say? Vayi, Esav, Ish Tzayid. Esav was the hunter, the Ish, but he was in charge of being able to. And what was Yaakov? Ish Tam, Yashav Aholim. He protected the oil. He protected the house. That's where he was. That's where his greatness was. So Yaakov Avinu stands there at the entrance of our house, and it's in his schus that we have the mezuzah. And the mezuzah stands at the entrance of our house and keeps the Yetzirah out in the schus of Yaakov Avinu. And that's why we have the mezuzah, and that's why we put the mezuzah up on the door. And I just think it's interesting, he doesn't say this, but it says in Vayikra, it says by the Nachash, it says, Kol Hayloch Al Gachin. And anything goes al gachan at stomach is, and I think gachan's, and the word gachan has a vav straight up, and they say, what does that represent? They say, because la'asid lavai, the nachash will become straight again, and it will serve people. It'll go back to its original position to serve people, because that's what it was supposed to do. It, like others, it didn't do its job, so it got fired, but it will come back. al-gachin. And the mezuzah really is the same way. So we have mezuzahs, but the mezuzah, we put it like on a slant. Because there's a machlok in Rashi and Rebbeinu Tam, if it should go flat or it should go straight. So we put a little bit on a slant. But maybe that's representing also the nachash the way it should be, which is a straight line in a way that protects us. So ultimately, now the nachash will come... What? You do it straight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So, what I'm thinking is even better, according to you. So ultimately, the Nachash's job was to protect people, was to serve people. I'd say, the Chazal say, loss of love, the Nachash will come back as our servant. So in the same way, maybe that's so. I was thinking the Nachash is straight up like the Nachash, but that is, so we've had twice this year already, we've talked about the Nachash in a positive sense, the Mitzvah, the Rebbe Shalom, that the Nachash should be there to protect us. And that's the reason we put the mezuzah at the door, representing Yaakov and representing L'Pesach Chatas Reivitz. Just want to say one other thing. I saw from Mordechai Kamenevsky, a beautiful, beautiful Zach, really very sensitive, just a nice thing. You take a look in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes, in our parsha. Page 519. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the mountain, and he stays there for 40 days. And he says to Klal Yisrael, you know, I went up in the mountain after the Diego Azov, and Hashem was going to wipe you out, and I dived, and I dived, and I dived, and Baruch Hashem was successful, and you didn't get wiped out. Okay? So very good. So he says, Ba'loyisiyahor, I went up on the mountain, Lakach, Luchas Avanim, Luchas Abris. I went up to get the new Luchas, to get the Luchas Achakoras Hashem Yimachim, Veishabar Arboim Yoim, Varboim Loila. And I went up there for 40 years, Lechem Lo Achalti, Umayim Lo Shasisi. I went up, and I was there, and I didn't eat, and I didn't drink for 40 days. Okay? So fine. So what has that got to do with it? We understand that I went up, and I went and I davened for you, and I had to be there, and I was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Beautiful. But why is he putting in, I didn't eat and didn't drink? Doesn't it sound a little self-serving? Like, you should know what I did for you. I didn't eat, I didn't drink, you know? It's pasnich. How is that part of what went on over here? He says this. What seems difficult to understand is the interjection of Moshe's miraculous sustenance of not eating for drink 40 days. Why is it inserted in the story? In Shmos, it has a place as Hashem describes the miracles to be performed as part of the Torah transfer process. But here in Moshe's narrative, it seems self-appreciating. Nice word. After all, was Moshe's ability to survive 40 days sans physical nourishment his act? It was the act of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what was the purpose of him saying that? So he says a nice story. Says there was, he spoke to a yeshiva principal, told him the following story. There was a kid in elementary school who was a very bright kid, you know, one of those really bright kids, but he was also a real troublemaker. He was like, you know, he was like, probably because he was so bright, maybe he was whatever, I won't go into the pedagogical stuff. Whatever it is, he was a big troublemaker. So when he came to ninth grade, the yeshiva was very nervous about taking him in, because after all, you know, do we need this? But it's the way he puts it, he says, because of his potential for success and his parents' good standing in the community, well, I don't know what that means. So helping them, right, decide to take a chance. So they take a chance. So they want to, okay, so they have two classes to put him in. So trying to decide which class they put him in. So there was a machlokes between the hanhala of the yeshiva, the dean of the yeshiva, and the high school principal. The dean of the yeshiva wanted to put him, there was two rebbeim. One was a tough, no-nonsense rebbe who, you know, enforced discipline, and he said, we should put him in that class, he'll straighten this kid out. And the other one, they said, they had a new teacher, a quiet young man who hardly spoke above a whisper. In addition to his low-key demeanor, he looked as frail and emaciated as a war refugee. That's what he writes about. However, the rabbi's most outstanding trait, which is inversely proportional to his physical stature, was his love and devotion toward even the most difficult student. So that, machlokes. So they gave him to the rebbe, the new rebbe, who was, you know, so the kid starts, and he performs magnificently. He sits quietly in class, he takes notes, he scores at the top of the class. It's like the best year, and their moms are felling away. And they're figuring, they're patting, so the principal goes in, and he's patting himself on the back, listen, and he says, you know, I noticed that you really did well this year, Baruch Hashem. He goes, yeah, yeah. He says, you know, I'd like to learn for the future, like, what did we do right? You know, what new techniques did we do? How is it that you learned so well? So he says, like, I don't want to disappoint you. It had nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with the school.
I'm sorry, I apologize. He said it had nothing. It had nothing to do with the school. It had to do with the Rebbe. He says, well, not you, even the school's Rebbe. You see, I thought to myself, how can you even think of making trouble? Rebbe is such a tzaddik. He cares so much for me. I know that he even davens for my success. I'm sure that he even fasts for me. I may be a troublemaker, but I'm surely not an ingrate. That's what he told him. He says, look, this Rebbe, I can't do it to him. I love him too much. I know, I'd like to make trouble, but I love my Rebbe more, and I know that he loves me. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, he says, look, you didn't just sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know what I went through for you? I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You know how hard it was? Okay, there was a miracle. I was sustained. But this was a nerve-wracking 40 days working on this. And it's, if you don't have gratitude, Ribbono Shel Olam, at least have gratitude to me. And therefore, that's why he said, I didn't eat or drink for 40 days. He wasn't doing it to praise himself. He was saying, you have to have some akaras atoyv. Not only Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to have akaras atoyv to what I did for you. And unless he learns out, he says, the next time we're to rebel against Hashem, we must realize, remember, we are not only negating Hashem's word, but the efforts, the fasting, the tears, and the prayers of our parents, grandparents, and teachers. If fear of God does not stop us, maybe gratitude for his mortal messengers will. And that's a lesson, I mean, a beautiful, beautiful lesson that we have to learn, is to look around at everybody who we should have a karas atayv to, and say, you know, I might be a troublemaker, but I'm not an ingrate. And therefore, anybody who does us a favor, and for sure, Rabbein, for sure, our parents, grandparents, and everybody who comes before us, and all the dayers, to remember what they did for us, and to have a karas atayv, and that will make us ultimately better people. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, 40 days and 40 nights, I didn't eat bread, I didn't drink, not to get pat me on the back and say thank you, but to say I appreciate it. And that's what we all have a chiyuv to do. So everyone should help. We should all remember our Hakara Satay P's and Q's. And next week we won't have Shir, but Mitz Hashem will come back, and believe it or not, we'll be getting close to El. It's scary, but El will be coming, so we'll start thinking it'll come back for Parsha Shreif to Mitz Hashem. So Mitz Hashem, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. So we hope to get together then. Thank you so much. So and then, yes.